Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly 60-minute expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live, for the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Good evening. Welcome to The Watchman as we continue our study on Bible prophecy and the end time. And today I have an interesting subject, which is both from the old prophecies of Daniel to the newer prophecies of Revelation to the contemporary world in which we live. And we are going to be looking at the formation of the Revelation 13 beast, which the Bible says has the body of a leopard, has the mouth of a lion, and has the feet of a bear. Now we're going to start from Daniel chapter 7, which is where all of this prophecy starts from. And I'll read from verse 1, and it says, "In the first year of Belteshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea." Now, we've spoken before that the great sea refers to the multitudes of people, the sea. When it talks of rivers, it refers to fewer people. The language of lakes and oceans did not exist at this time. So it's either rivers or sea. Now, sea refers to a multitude of people, as in almost like the whole, you know, a whole group of people. And rivers refers to much fewer people. So Daniel says here that he saw the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched until its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on it on its 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now this is interesting, because in the interpretation of this, the lion was actually the kingdom of Babylon, which Daniel existed in, and which was existence at the time that this prophecy was made. But also, the lion is a symbol of Britain today, and we see that these empires, as they existed before, do exist again. So the lion is a symbol of Britain. And here in this scripture, Daniel chapter 7 verse 4, it actually says that this lion had eagle's wings. Now, of course, the lion is the symbol of Britain, and there is one country that we know whose symbol is the eagle, and that country is America, the United States of America. And we know that the United States of America kind of broke off from Britain, you know, the first pilgrims from Britain going to start that nation that is America. Now, this is actually precisely what this prophet says, because in Daniel chapter 7 verse 4, it says, "The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, and I watched until its wings were plucked off and lifted up." So the lion that was Britain had wings before it gave birth to America. Then eventually the wings of the eagle were plucked off, then it went and became a nation on its own, which is the nation that is the United States. Now, of course, there are some prophecy teachers, especially in America, who attach the fact that this is Daniel chapter 7 and verse 4 to have some meaning, because America declared its independence from Britain on July 4th, 1776. Now, the July 4th thing, if you see, this is Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. 7, of course, is the month of July, and verse 4 would be like July 4th. So I'm not so sure that there is too much meaning attached to that, because I don't think that the chapters and verses in the Bible were inspired. They were just put there, I believe, for our reference. And there might have been some inspiration, though, because I don't believe that God would be there and has nothing, no input whatsoever in the chaptering and numbering of verses. But anyhow, some people make a big deal of that. But what I'm pushing for something else, which is what I want us to talk about here. "And immediately another beast, a second, like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, Arise, devour much flesh. Now we know that the bear stood at the time of this Daniel's prophecy, after him actually, it stood for the kingdom of the Medo-Persians, which came after the kingdom, after the empire of Babylon, after Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian empire. Now, the Medo-Persians represented by a bear, but we also know that the bear is the national symbol for Russia. And now this is not, you know, I'm going to show you how this falls into place into modern, contemporary news and things that you all know are currently happening. So the bear is Russia, we know that. Then he says, after this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had it on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now this is interesting, because the leopard, of course, is the national symbol for Germany, which is going to be a major part of what we're speaking about today. And Germany, now it says it had wings of a bird, or actually in some translations had wings of a rooster. Now there is a country which has been in collision, which has been in alliance with Germany, whose national symbol is the rooster, and that country is France. And so it says here that Germany, or rather the leopard, had wings of a rooster, or of a bird. It translates here in the New King James, but in some places it says a rooster, which we know now is the national symbol for France. But then it also says that this leopard had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now the leopard had four heads. Remember that the leopard had four heads. The leopard being Germany had four heads. Now just keep that in mind as we move on to Revelation chapter 13, because it's going to be a major part of our discussion here today. Now this prophecy, of course, also comes into play very majorly in Revelation 13, which is what we are currently seeing right now. And I'll read again from verse 1, and it says, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And on his horns were ten crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. Now I want us to look at this carefully. It says that the beast which was rising up to the sea, that is rising out of the many people, I told you what the sea stands for, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns ten crowns. So it had seven heads. Remember that, seven heads. Now we know that heads symbolize empires or emperors, really, or kingdoms, or in modern speech, countries. Now that's what heads symbolize. How do we know that? It's of course from Revelation 17, which I am not going to read right now. So it had seven heads. Now it goes on to say, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Now here we see the leopard again. Now I've told you this before, that the reason Bible prophecy uses symbolism, especially numbers, especially animals, metals and things like that, is because these prophecies are given over periods of hundreds, in some cases thousands of years, and they are supposed to apply to people like us who have lived millennia after the last prophecies were given. Now this book of Revelation was written in AD 95, close to 2,000 years ago. That's close to 2 millennia ago. But it's supposed to make sense to me. Now, the language that John used was different from the language that we use. The nations and all those things were different. However, when the Bible uses symbols, a lion 2,000 years ago is a lion today. Gold 2,000 years ago is gold today. Red 2,000 years ago is red today. And so on and so forth. So it uses colors, symbols, metals, numbers. So because those are things that do not change regardless of the generation. Now here we are seeing the leopard again. I'm reading Revelation 13 verse 2. It says, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Now the leopard, Germany again. Okay. His feet were like the feet of a bear. A bear, we said, is Russia. We know that. Now these are national symbols. I am not speculating. These are national symbols. In the same way that the crested crane is a national symbol for Uganda, these are national symbols. So we see the leopard and the bear, and I'm still reading from verse 2, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. Now we are seeing that in the olden times, there were three different empires which were symbolized by these animals. There was the Babylonian Empire, symbolized by the lion. There was the Medo-Persian Empire, whose symbol was the bear. Then there was the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great, whose symbol was the leopard. Now, but we see a combination of all these: Babylonian Empire, Medo-Persian Empire, which really covered almost the same area geographically, then the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great, whose symbol was, whose symbol is the leopard, in all of this. Now, we see these three empires coming to merge together in Revelation 13. Now, Revelation 13 is talking about the end time, the time in which we currently are living. Now, so does that mean that we are looking at a combination of Germany, which is the leopard, Britain, which is the mouth, and Russia, which is the bear? Is that likely from current politics? Are we going to see an alliance between these three countries that is going to form the last empire that is going to rule the world at the time of the coming of our Lord? Because it goes on to say here, still in verse 2, that the dragon gave him power, gave the beast power, his throne and great authority. Now, this is a very misunderstood verse, that is verse 3, because it says, and I saw one of the heads. Remember, the heads represents empires, represents kingdoms, okay? And it says, I saw one of the heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, who gave authority to the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, these are very key scriptures in regard to what we are speaking about here today. Because amateur interpretation of this scripture and some of the things you've seen in end time movies tell you that the Antichrist is going to be somebody who will be shot on the head, and then his people will think that he's supposed to die from the wound, because it says mortally wounded, and then he somehow miraculously recovers, and then people will know that this is the Antichrist. So people are looking for somebody who is going to be wounded on the head. But that is in total contravention of what actually the scripture is saying, because it says it had seven heads. Now, unless we expect an Antichrist who is going to come with seven heads, a person. So this is not talking about a person. It is talking about a beast which has seven heads, okay? Whose body is like a leopard, whose mouth is like a lion, and whose feet are like a bear. It has seven heads, and one of those heads was mortally wounded, and somehow it came back, and somehow everybody marveled at its power of recovery, because they thought it was finished for good. Now, I'm going to speak a bit about this and connect this to what is happening currently and help you make sense of it. But I'll start with some bit of history, because you've heard it said that, you know, you probably have heard it, you know, seeing how Germany has become so powerful in the world today, and especially in European Union, and is actually basically running the European Union, and almost with an iron fist as it is, the nation that is Germany. But where does all this start from? And of course, we've also had so many newspapers. I was reading the Telegraph talking about the rise of the Fourth Reich, the Telegraph in England, the Mirror was also talking about the rise of the Fourth Reich. Now, Reich, I think, means kingdom, actually means kingdom. It's a German word that means kingdom, but or empire, really. But the Germans have actually, the reason they call it the Third Reich is because, I mean, the Fourth Reich, the one that they believe is currently being built, is because there have been three others. And I'm going to tell you that actually what they call the Fourth Reich, or the Fourth, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right anyway, but it's R-E-I-C-H. What they call the Fourth Reich is a theoretical European empire which is going to be dominated by Germany. But there was a First Reich, and that was the Holy Roman Empire, which lasted almost all of 1,000 years, with ruled by Germany across Europe. And the Holy Roman Empire lasted from 962 AD to 1806 AD and was apparently defeated by Napoleon II and declared that the Holy Roman Empire has been crushed, and that is the end of what they would call the First Reich, the joint European kind of arrangement ruled over by Germany. But Germany was not to end it there, because in 1806 Napoleon declared it defeated, but they were back at it with the 1870 war, in which Germany went and did some conquests in neighboring countries. It actually overran France and annexed France and formed some kind of empire. In those days, Otto von Bismarck being the man who was at the heart of it all, and they formed what was called the Second Reich. And that, you can go and check up those things, Otto von Bismarck, until the 1870 war in Germany. So up from 1871, actually, the Second Reich started, and it went all the way, that is Germany ruling Europe, and it went all the way up to 1918 or 1919, when Germany was defeated in the First World War. And then they recoiled back. France, of course, got away from under the grip of Germany, and so did all the other countries that were under them at the time. And Germany went back to just being Germany, and all these countries were independent. That was the end of the Second Reich. But these Germans have always had this desire to rule over Europe, and I don't know why. I think it's because they did it for 1,000 years, so they kind of think that it is some kind of sacred right of theirs, and for some reason it is almost inherent in different generations of Germans, because the German army was disbanded after 1918, their loss in the First World War, and people thought now, after 8.2 million people died in that war, by the way, and the whole of Europe was like, now we cannot continue like this, something has to be done. And they started the League of Nations and all those things, and you know, attempts at always finding political solutions to some of these things. But Germany reenacted their army in 1925, started rebuilding it. They became very powerful in 1933. Then the Nazi party took over, and then Adolf Hitler took over. And it's important to understand that when we are talking about things which are happening, do not base yourself on current things, because Adolf Hitler was actually the Time magazine man of the year in 1938, and Joseph Stalin was the Time magazine man of the year in 1942. Now, when you look back from where we stand, and you look backwards, you realize how ridiculous some of those choices were. But they were. I mean, Adolf Hitler, Time magazine man of the year 1938, that was just before he started on the next conquest of Europe, on what is called the Third Reich. Because around 1930, end of 1938, I think around 1939, is when he went and forged a Polish attack on Germany. He basically got some German soldiers and went across border and made them kind of pose like Polish soldiers, and then they attacked Germany. So Hitler had a reason to retaliate and to start what was eventually called the Second World War. And so he, of course, he started by attacking Poland, overran it. Then he attacked almost all the countries that were after Austria and what, and you know, all of them, the Netherlands, France was also eventually overrun, and all these countries. He went country by country by country by country, just basically recreating the empire like it once was, and that was called the Third Reich. And of course, that lasted until 1945, 52 million people killed. And it came at a time of immense prosperity across Europe, when people were thinking this is a wonderful time for us. That was the time almost a lot of cultural revolution and you know, economic transformation, and people were having a very good life. So kind of Hitler and his Nazis came and disorganized Europe and basically turned everything on its head. It came at such a time of peace and prosperity across Europe. Anyhow, that was the Third Reich between 1933 and 1945. So you see, the First Reich was between 962 AD to 1806. The second one, 1871, after which was called the Imperial Germany, 1871 to 1918, when Germany was defeated in the First World War. The third one was called Nazi Germany between 1933 and 1945. Now, we are seeing what is currently being called the Fourth Reich. And how is it being achieved? Not militarily. It is being achieved through financially and trade. Now, this is what British right-wing journalist Simon Heffer wrote in 2001 and said this in a British newspaper. And this is very interesting. He said, "Where Hitler failed by military means to conquer Europe, modern Germany has succeeded through trade and financial discipline." Then he ended saying, "Welcome to the Fourth Reich." Now, it's important to know that in the prophecy of Daniel, he said that the leopard had four heads. Okay? The leopard being Germany had four heads. Now, the First Reich, Second Reich, the Third Reich, and the Fourth Reich. Now, and the leopard being Germany, of course. Now, so now, this is the rise of the new Germany. Now, it's important to understand that Germany, first of all, is the biggest population, most populous country in Europe. It has the biggest economy in Europe. In 2009, France was the clear leader in the European Union, especially in the top positions as occupied in Brussels. Most of them were occupied by French people. But that was 2009. But over the years, almost slowly and seamlessly, France has lost out badly, and now even holds fewer positions than Spain, which is a country with a much less population. And guess which country has gained heavily and now has a clear lead in top positions in all European Union positions? Of course, that country is Germany. Now, you see that where did all this change? It changed during the so-called Eurozone crisis. In the Eurozone crisis, because Germany provided the biggest, the bulk, basically, of cash that would bailout cash reserves, so to speak, credit reserves, they turned the tables around. Okay. And actually, during the Eurozone crisis, German Chancellor Angela Merkel was accused of having pushed for Germany to have a greater say in domestic governance of all Eurozone countries, which were 18 at the time. So they were actually saying that Angela Merkel is now governing domestically countries that are not hers, that are outside of Germany. And in Poland, the former Polish Prime Minister, Jarosław Kaczynski, suggested in a book that he wrote around that time, that Germany wants to annex a part of Poland. Now, does that sound familiar? Of course it should, because that's exactly how Germany started the Second World War. Only now, they are doing it through finance and trade, and not through military means like they tried before. Like they tried in 1870 and succeeded, like they tried in 1939 and failed this time. But now they have succeeded. That's what the British generally say is what Hitler failed to do militarily in conquering Europe. Modern Germans have succeeded in doing through finance and trade, and said, "Welcome to the Fourth Reich." Now, it's clear that Berlin's ability to utilize its institutional heft within European Union means that unless any European proposal is broadly compatible with the German national interest, it is unlikely to be realized, irrespective of the logic behind it. Now, everybody knows that Germany now is in total control of the European Union, so they have kind of achieved what they wanted. However, Germany is undermined by the fact that both the UK and France are number one permanent members of the UN Security Council, which Germany is not, and two are nuclear powers, which Germany is not. So now that's where Russia comes in. Remember, according to Bible prophecy, there is going to be an alliance between these three. The lion, which is the UK, the bear, which is Russia, and the leopard, which is Germany. Now, it doesn't just say that in Bible prophecy. It also says that what role each country will play in the alliance. The body of, it says it will have the body of Germany. Now the body is speaking basically about the appearance or the economy of Germany, of the leopard. It will have the mouth of a lion, which is basically speech. We know that English, which is the language of England, really started, at least started there, is the national language for the European Union. So it has the mouth of the lion, and it has the feet. The feet refer to military might. Okay, the strength of feet refer to military might. The feet of a bear, which is Russia. So not only does the Bible tell us that there is going to be such a confederacy, it also tells us which what role each of these countries is going to be playing. Now that is in Revelation 13 verse 1, 2 and 3. Now, so Russia comes in somewhere. Now Germany has stood in the way of total European hostility towards Russia, and an alliance between the two isn't inconceivable, even by observatory standards. Now we know what the Bible says, that there will be an alliance, but even by just observing, we know this is what happened when Russia, apparently Russian-led rebels attacked Ukraine and destabilized Ukraine. America was, along with NATO and many European countries, were actually muting some kind of military response. It was actually said in America, their Secretary of Defense said that, told Congress that they are going to arm the Ukrainian government with weapons to defeat the rebels who are backed by Russia. Now, of course, that would have been that wouldn't have been a very good thing by America, because that would basically be a declaration of war on Russia, which America cannot afford. They cannot even afford fighting Iran, much less Russia. Now, so that was going to be a big mistake, but they had planned it, they had mooted it. Then the rest of Europe had planned to cut off Russian gas and cut off their dependency on the gas, natural gas from Russia, for their heating and all those things, and that of course would affect the Russian economy. And guess who stood in the way of all that happening? Germany. Angela Merkel. What did she do? When America was mooting some kind of military response, or at least indirect military response, Angela Merkel decided to go to Finland, Helsinki, and come up with a peace agreement in which Russia attended, and Ukraine and Germany, of course, and a few other countries, and they came up with some sort of ceasefire. Now, right now, the biggest hindrance to this alliance that we are talking about between these three countries, which is going to be the last empire that is in place when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, according to the Bible, is the American power, number one, and its rising hostility towards Russia. Those are the two things that are standing in the way of this alliance. But, and this is a strong but, America is going to start going down and down starting this year, actually starting a bit later this year, and especially watch for the month of September. September is going to be a very disastrous month for America, and it's going to change so many things. Right now, what you see as the American election, Donald Trump leading by with 25% of the GOP or the Republican, almost truckload of Republican candidates. There are so many of them, they can't fit on one stage if you try to put them together. Donald Trump leading them, and what they call the season before any voting starts. But everything is going to change in September. Number one, the economy is going to suffer a major shock, which is going to make the Democrats, the same way that the economy changed, turned the ball game and made Barack Obama a clear favorite ahead of John McCain in 2008. It all started with the economy. Now this year it's going to happen again, and it's going to start with the economy, and the Democrats are going to lose out seriously, because people will see, because that's what usually happens. What touches the past, of course, touches people, because there's apathy towards all these. People are going for, you know, cult figures. That's why Donald Trump can come and talk anything and somehow lead, because people are looking at personalities and all these things, they are looking for somebody to come up and stand up to the system and appear to be defiant at all. So it's all that, but when it touches the economy, now suddenly they go down to principles, and they go down to who is the best person. Now at that time in September, it is going to turn the whole election around, and to become clear that Hillary Clinton has no chance to win the presidency, because the Americans, after that economic thing, will not want another Democrat. Somehow they blame it on the government in power, whether or not they are the ones who created it, just like they blamed the Bush administration for the economic downfall, which I don't think it was any of their fault. So they will blame it on the Democrats. So Hillary Clinton, or whoever it is that wins Democratic seat, will have no... it will become clear at that time that they have no chance. That's when people like Jeb Bush will come up and be a serious contender for the White House, and actually almost appear like a favorite, because he's the favorite of the Republican Party, by the way, which is why he has accumulated $100 million in spending cash for the election now. So watch the month of September. There's this guy, a Jewish guy called Jonathan Cahn, who is a rabbi, who is actually Jewish, and but he's I believe a preacher in America, possibly even a pastor. I'm not so sure about that though. He wrote that book called The Harbinger, and in the book he had a very, very clear message for America. It has never been clearer than that. And he was telling them that what happened on September 11th, regardless of what you think was the cause of it, and the whole gist of it, was but a warning of some other disaster. And he proved from the Bible that every time something disastrous was about to happen, God warned the nation, particularly of Israel or whichever nation, in 7-year cycles. And he wrote after 9-1-1 and said that the 7-year cycle started on September 11th, 2001, when that bombing of the World Trade Center. And he had so many other things to say, by the way, in that book, The Harbinger. And it was taken very seriously by the top political circles in America, up until, of course, Obama came with his own policies and everything, and in total disregard for everything that was initially believed. But it was actually taken seriously initially by President Bush as a warning, because what happened is, and what this man talks about in the book of The Harbinger, is that in America, there is when the Twin Towers came down, something happened. When they were reading, talking about their response to 9-1-1, they went and read a verse which is in Isaiah, which he quoted in the book of Isaiah, and what they were basically saying is that. I don't know how they got to this verse, but it was almost in complete defiance of what was happening. And in the book of Isaiah, it talks about the wall has come down crumbling, the bricks have come crumbling, we are going to build with hewn stone. And it's basically saying, and this was the response of Israel to God when he gave them one of those pre-warnings, and they said, no, the bricks have come tumbling, but we are going to build with stone now. In other words, we are coming back stronger. So now that was somehow the response, and I don't know why they chose this particular verse, but this is a verse which is almost a statement of defiance to God. So this man warned that in a 7-year cycle something is going to happen to America, and he wrote this before 2008. He said after 7 years something is going to happen to America, that will be a second warning, a second harbinger. And guess what? 7 years later, actually down to the very day, in September 11th, down to the very day, guess what happened? The Lehman Brothers financial institution collapsed and gave birth to what was eventually called the credit crunch, which hit throughout America and Europe around 2008 and 2009. And this man had warned them earlier that this is going to happen. Now, still they did not respond in the way they were supposed to respond. So now he has been going across all television stations, of course, but in a very diplomatic way, and telling them that the third cycle is coming in September 2015. So now watch that, because I'm very sure this man knows what he's talking about, and I'm very sure his message is from God. And especially if you listen to him speaking, I haven't read the book, The Harbinger, though, but if you listen to him speaking, it's extremely key. But there is more to that. Also note that September 25th is when Pope Francis, or 24th actually, is when Pope Francis is going to address the U.S. Congress. He's addressing the U.N. General Assembly on 25th, but before that he will address the U.S. Congress. Watch what happens to America after that. After the Pope goes and addresses the U.N., or rather the U.S. joint, the Congress, watch what is going to happen to America after that. That is going to be the beginning of almost the exit of America as a major power in the way that we've known it. And it's going to happen this year. I'm not talking about 5 years from now. It's happening this year. This is August. We are talking about September, which is next month. So we don't have long to wait. Just wait and see what is going to happen. And by the way, the fourth and final blood moon, you've heard about the four blood moons. The fourth and final blood moon happens also on September 28th. So all these things are happening. So something major is going to happen around this time, and I believe it is going to be start the exit of America. It might also involve some other things, but it is going to start the downfall of America, and that nation is not going to be the same who once knew it as. So it's going to be very crucial for America. But anyway, it's also important to know that the ego, which is America, and the roster, which is France, do not have any major part to play in end time prophecy. Now it is time for them to exit the stage, because more end time empires are now coming to take place. So now when America is out of the way, as it will be, not the following Britain, when America is taken out of the way, then the rise of Germany will be more apparent, and the rise of the so-called Fourth Reich, or the fourth head of the leopard, which is talked about in Daniel chapter 7, the fourth head of the leopard. Remember, in Daniel 7 it says the leopard had four heads. Now, first, note the following. Britain and Germany have been at loggerheads since the Second World War. But now those two countries seem to be, which share a very strong cultural heritage, the two of them, especially at the royal family, seem to be coming together. And now that was especially became apparent when Queen Elizabeth visited Germany recently, and you know that handshake with Angela Merkel, which was so many people made a big meal from, for good reason though, because it's also very important in Bible prophecy, because the lion and the leopard have to be in alliance. So when the Queen goes and visits Germany, even all the cultural, you know, differences, social cultural differences, the way the English and the German don't see eye to eye in so many ways, now all those things are going to be melted away as it has started at the top. And that's very key for Bible prophecy. So that meeting between Angela Merkel and Queen Elizabeth, probably the two most powerful women in the world, was extremely important even for Bible prophecy. Now all this German power in Europe has caused so many people to be kind of, to feel, so many countries to feel disenfranchised, and they are kind of feeling, man, German has too much power, they can basically do anything. And they have exercised their muscle before. Earlier on, I think in around 2013, when there was going to be a trade war between the European Union and China, Germany, guess what Germany did? Germany went and stopped it, and basically silenced all the 27 other European Union countries, because Germany's interests were not going to be met by the so-called trade war. Why? Because Germany sells so many of its luxury cars to China. So because of that, Germany said, no, we are not getting into a trade war with China. And what does the rest of Europe do? They say, yes, sir. So this, of course, has created some kind of disenfranchisement across Europe. Germany's increasing power, and the fact that they can basically do what they want, the fact that even the European Parliament almost has hovering over it, the German government, and so on. And one of those countries which was disenfranchised, although for more economic reasons, was Greece. So the Greeks came out fighting, first of all, politically, and I've spoken about Greece here on this program before. They came out fighting politically. How? They voted somebody who is the far left, was almost close to a communist, or at least a heavy socialist leader, Alexis Tsipras, as their prime minister. And that was because they had come under a lot of austerity, and they were tired of it, and they had been going through a squeeze. But they were going through a squeeze because they had been spending more money than they had, and guess who was funding their extra spending? Mostly it was Germany. So what the Greeks were doing, and I've explained this before, but I'll go through it very briefly. What the Greeks were doing was the equivalent of you earning 1 million shillings a month, but you're spending 1.5 million because there is somebody out there who is willing to lend you that extra 500,000. So you continue like that, spending more than you earn, until that debt, let's say, gets to around 10 million. Then the person who has been giving you the extra 500,000 to accommodate your expenditure says, now we have to start, you have to start paying back the money. The trouble is, you're spending 1.5, you're used to spending 1.5, yet you're earning 1 million and your income has not increased, but now you have to start paying back the money. So what this person does who has been lending you the money, he says, now not only am I going to stop lending you the money so that all you have is 1 million, I am also going to require you to give me 300,000 of that 1 million as part of the repayment. So now somebody who was used to spending 1.5 million ends up spending 700,000. I hope you see the math. And then, so he's under squeeze. So now, suddenly, imagine if it was a person, maybe even you have to move into a smaller house, you have to do so many things, maybe even move your children and what. So it's called austerity. Now, when the Greeks were tired of austerity after almost 4 or 5 years of it, they vote Alexis Tsipras in office, who comes and tells them, I'm going to remove austerity. The only thing is that the only way you can remove the austerity is by increasing your income. So if you increase your income to, say, 2.5 million from 1 million, then you can pay these guys their 300,000 or even more and still go back to your initial expenditure of 1.5 million. But the income is not increasing, so the Greeks think that they are going to have a political solution to an economic problem. That was never going to happen. So they come out fighting and what. Now, German used Greece as an example. And I told you this when I was listening to all this Greece failing to meet their debt repayment to the IMF and everything. Late in the night on my television, almost 1:30, 1 a.m. I believe. So I asked the Lord, what does this mean? And I told you before that. He told me that it's nothing. So what Germany did is it used Greece to show other countries which are trying to get disenfranchised that you can't handle. So Greece came out fighting and they lost miserably. And so now all opposition to German authority seems to be coy, because it was there in Italy, it is there in Spain, it is there in countries like Ireland, countries which have been taking money from the European Central Bank, so to speak, which is of course mostly funded by Germans, and who thought that maybe there is a softer way out of this. Okay, it's more like what happens here in Uganda. Somebody was telling me, I mean, how is that different from Uganda? What happens here in Uganda is we make a budget and we can only fund 70% of it, sometimes even 60%. Earlier on, it used to even be 50%. So now, if we can fund 70% of it, the 30% comes from so-called partners, development partners, whatever it is you might want to call them. Now, the difference between us, for instance, in Uganda and Greece, is for us, they will continue giving us the money because they are going to get it through stealing our natural resources. Now, they will give you and say, sign here. So when now you start mining oil, you have all this debt to pay, and they will get their money. And they will not only get their money, they will even get 10 times what they gave you. So they don't mind giving African countries because they know where they are going to leverage. Now, the difference with Greece is they cannot come and steal Greece's resources the way they steal ours. So Greece, they tell them, no, for you, you have to pay back the money as it is. Because it's different from us. Now that's, I hope that helps you understand a few things. So German, having used Greece as an example, is going to, most of the opposition now is coy, so to speak, or is silenced. Okay. So let's move on. So where is this ending? First of all, you have to know that the German authority over Europe is going to increase. A man called Simon Hicks, who is a professor of European politics at the London School of Economics, wrote and said that, talking about the European Union Parliament, he said that you feel the shadow of the Berlin government in the EU Parliament. It's rare that anything happens that is against the interests of Germany, of the German industry. So basically, it's a European Union, but it's basically German in total control. Okay? So now, the biggest issue here is, number one, Germany does not have any military might to speak of, because they only started rebuilding their army a little later. But I want you to understand that after 1945, for almost the next 10 years, Germany was disintegrated. For the next few years, actually, the city of Berlin was divided between Britain, Russia, and America. There was the American section, the British. So, you remember, you've heard of how it was said that you had to basically push a wheelbarrow of money in post-Second World War Germany to go and buy a loaf of bread. In other words, they are... inflation was even worse than the recent one in Zimbabwe of Robert Mugabe. So they were basically a nation in total crumbles. Some cities had been totally bombed down, like Dresden after the Second World War, and all these things. So many things happened. So Germany was a nation in disarray. Then it was divided between East and West Germany. The East, of course, given to the East Germany given to the communists, and West Germany. Now, after the reunification, so West Germany built itself and started out and became a bit of an economic power and everything. Then after the reunification, West Germany had to spend a lot of money to bring East Germany up to the same economic level that West Germany had been at, because East Germany had lagged far, far, far behind because of the communism. So now West Germany took it up and basically brought them together and made them one big power, almost at par right now. Now, oh, that is, those are amazing powers of recovery, because in 1945, a country that was in total disarray, now being as powerful as Germany is. Now, remember, it says it has seven heads. Four heads are the four heads of the leopard. Then there's the lion, then there's the bear. And so now it says it has seven heads, and one of those heads appeared to be wounded mortally. This one is not coming back. And actually, that is what was said of Germany after the Second World War, that finally, now the Germans are not going to come back and try to rule Europe again, because they have disturbed us a lot. They caused the 1870 wars, they caused the First World War, they caused the Second World War. So the Europeans sat down and said, maybe there is something about the German psyche that they cannot... they cannot stay away from war and disorganizing everybody. So they made sure that even the German armed forces are subject to NATO, which is ruled by America. So basically, Germany has in terms of total independence, has no almost complete independent army of its own, because its army is subject to NATO up to now. But of that, now Angela Merkel and America are beginning to go a bit apart, especially it became especially clear after the Ukrainian thing, and when the European Union countries proposed a joint military force to protect the European Union interests, Germany reacted enthusiastically to that proposal, because they want to come out of under the wing of NATO, so to speak. And so there's a small split, although of course in terms of trade, Germany cannot afford a split between America, because that's where they say the majority of their luxury cars. But in other terms, in terms of other things, there is quite a number of things there that you can speak about that are causing this split. But what I'm trying to show you here is that when America starts going on the wane, Germany starts coming up, there is that alliance which already kind of brews in between. There was this G7 thing where G8, where Russia goes there, Vladimir Putin, then he has a long meeting with Angela Merkel, the one which was in Australia recently. Now they are talking one thing, and but when they are behind the meetings, they are saying other things. So the point is that this alliance has to happen according to the Bible, and we know that Bible prophecy always happens, always comes to pass, and it is going to involve Britain. Now, we know that Germany almost has the whole of Europe under its wings, and any country that has tried to kind of break free, like Greece did, were put in their place. So now, that means that the amazing recovery of one of the heads is that... Now, I'm convinced that's what the Bible means when it says in Revelation 13 that one of the heads was wounded as if mortally, but I'll read it again. And I saw one of his heads, one of the heads of that beast, okay, which has seven heads. I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. Actually, it's not just that, because Time magazine, at the reunification of Germany, said that in an article in that magazine, they said that the wound that the wound, that Europe had a wound that was incurable, but now that wound has been healed. That is what 1989, when the Berlin Wall was crumbling, and they're talking about wound, and talking about it in reference to a wound and wound and wound. And I'm thinking, is that coincidence that they are talking about a wound here, and the Bible says that one of the heads, which is Germany, of course, because the Berlin Wall was now uniting. And actually other politicians also said that the Berlin Wall was this wound that we had in Germany, and now we are removing that wound, and the wound is being healed. So now I am convinced that the recovery of Germany from the country that was in total disarray in 1945, with inflation that was incredible, that you had apparently, it's been said, to carry, push a wheelbarrow of money to go and buy a loaf of bread, and the country that was, a city that was split in between, is now not only the most populous country, it's also the most powerful economy in Europe, and it's also in total control of the European Union, and has recovered in just about every sense that you can think about. That is Germany. Now, this is the empire that we are talking about, Revelation 13, that is going to be in place when you see this alliance happening, and you see the European Union forming what they call Eurasia, what they are calling Eurasia, something which America has been trying to fight and which has successfully stalled because of its immense power, which power, I've told you, is going to be on the wane starting next month. Now, what is going to happen in all of this is that Russia and England, or rather than Britain and Germany, form an alliance, and you are going to see this happening. And when you see it happening, know that we are really close. We are really close, because this is the empire that we are talking about, that is going to be at the coming of the Lord, and which is going to be at the heart of the one world government. And I also told you before that I spoke this at the conference, that the alliance between the one world religion and the one world government, which is coming together very soon, is also, it completes the whole picture. Then we move into the economic system that is going to require everybody. The economic system comes later and does not have to come when the church is on the earth. The economic system, I actually am convinced that the 666, nobody can buy or sell, also mentioned in Revelation 13, is not going to be in place until after the rapture. So if we are talking in terms of rapture, then all of these things are unfolding right now, and we cannot be far. We really cannot be far. And I'm telling you, brethren, the coming of the Lord is much sooner than you think, because all these things have been prophesied, and they are all falling very beautifully in place in so many other areas. Now, every time I touch a different subject, and I just explore it a bit, touch something and explore it a bit. Now, I've explored the rise of this end time beast, which has a mouth of a lion, a body of a leopard, and the feet of a bear, and we are going to see this happening. Last time I tried to talk a bit about the Gog and Magog war, but it was inexhaustive, so we'll talk a bit more about that, and we'll also see the alliance of nations that are going to be involved in that war. But that war is going to take place much later. It takes place actually towards the Battle of Armageddon. That means after the rapture of the church. Now, what does that say about the rapture of the church? We know it could happen any time from now, actually. Now, there are some people who believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. For them, they believe that before the Antichrist signs, before the agreement between Israel and its neighbors is signed, we shall have the church will have been raptured. Now, that's a very strong argument there. Then there are other people who believe in a mid 7-year period rapture. I don't call it tribulation, because the Bible does not talk about a 7-year tribulation. The Bible talks about a 3.5-year tribulation, but the 7 years interim agreement between Israel and its neighbors, the rapture might happen somewhere along there, possibly in the middle of it, right in the middle of it. Now, then afterwards, what have we got? There are some people, of course, there are few people, very few, who believe that the rapture happens towards the end at the Battle of Armageddon. I don't believe that. I don't think there is any serious scriptural basis for that belief. So it's either pre or mid 7 year, as far as I'm concerned. Of course, there are very strong arguments also by people whom I respect in Bible prophecy who tend to think it comes later on. But I don't believe there's any serious scripture backing for that view. Anyhow, so what does this mean? This means that we actually sooner than a lot, we are getting there, we are going to get there sooner than you think. Everything is going to happen. Now, watch for the things I've told you that are going to happen later this year. Watch for September. It's very important, and I'm going to tell you why it's so important in consequent shows in terms of Bible prophecy, that the Pope is going to address the UN General Assembly next month, September 25th. I'm going to tell you why it's very important, and I'm going to tell you why that is going to be some kind of turnaround when everything is going to implode, first of all, in the nation, because the day before he actually addresses the US Congress. Now, so many things change in that country after that, and when America looks back, let's say a few years from now, I'm not talking that many, I'm talking 3 years from now, they'll look back to September 2015 as when it all started going wrong. And that is when it is actually going to start going wrong. But because of a few things that are happening in that nation, especially in terms of the church and everything, a few of it is going to be spared. But it is not going to be the superpower that it currently is up to now. Watch out for that. Watch out for September. Watch out for the Pope's address at the UN. Continue praying that that he does not come to this country. It is very important. There is a reason why he wants to come here. I've told you this before. Anybody who attended the Watchman Conference knows that I'm absolutely convinced, and I gave you all my reasons why, including graphic evidence and everything, that Pope Francis is the biblical false prophet. Now, by false prophet, I don't mean one of false prophets or somebody who has a false prophecy. No, I'm talking about the third person of the of Satan's Trinity, who is like the Holy Spirit, the way it is. I mean, the dragon is the devil, who wants to be like God. Then the Antichrist wants to be like Christ. Then the false prophet, who wants to be like the Holy Spirit. Now, I am convinced absolutely that Pope Francis, the current Pope, is that person. And I showed that at the Watchman Conference. If you missed it, well, just pray that the DVDs come out and they are looking as good as the messages. But I proved at that time that I'm absolutely convinced that he is the person. Now, there is a reason why I don't want him to come in this country, because this country will not be the same again after that man steps here. And I'm talking about not be the same again in a bad way. In a bad way. And if I told you some of the dreams that we've been having, spiritual dreams, by the way, of warnings, you'll know why it's extremely important for us that he does not come here. So take a time after this show. Again, we are going to continue praying for it, by the way. Take some moments after the show. Listen, after you've listened, if you listen to the show 9 to 10, then take 15 minutes and pray honestly that he does not come here. If you really believe in what the Watchman is doing, pray honestly that he does not come here. If you listen to it from midnight to 1, because the same program is repeated, do the same. Take your 15 minutes at 1, between 1 and 1:15, and pray that he does not come to Uganda. Something happens, he does not come to this country. Initially we prayed and he did not come. Why didn't he come? Because Museveni signed the anti-homosexuality bill. Now, when they confused it and they confused our politicians, and somehow the thing was thrown out of parliament, now the guy wants to come. Now we are going to pray that something else happens and he does not come. Okay? Now, of course, there are some people who think who are looking at it in all sorts of different ways and what, but they don't know what's happening. For us, we are servants of God and we are pushing in another direction. Now, anyhow, we have to end this show right here. Thank you so much for listening to The Watchman, and I hope you've understood something about the beast of Revelation 13, it's an alliance of nations. I'm just talking about an animal. And if you want to ask any questions, if you want to do anything, the number, you can send us an email on ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. I'm going to, and if you want to, if you want to contribute to what is happening here, I've told you, want to send this message up country and to make sure that almost every town in Uganda has the Watchman ministry. If you want to have a say in that financially, and I would really invite you to just send your seed to this number, which I'm going to give you, the Watchman number. The number is 0780 292 555. The number is 0780 292 555. Please send your seed there and help and be a part of our spreading of this gospel, so that we make sure that as many people as possible are prepared for the coming of the Lord, which is sooner than you think. So do that. You can go to our website, which is watchman.co.ug. I'm going to be uploading some things there now that all this conference time is over, and all these things I'll be uploading, especially showing you what is September 25th, the Pope addressing the UN, why that is extremely important as far as Bible prophecy is concerned. I'm going to be uploading it very soon, and it's going to be a very wonderful written thing which you can look at and study, and also showing you why I'm convinced that Pope Francis, not any other Pope, Pope Francis, is the biblical false prophet. So go and check out all those things. Send us an email, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. Send us a seed to be a part of this. The number is 0780292555. Thank you so much for listening to this. Don't forget to pray about the Pope, that he does not come to Uganda. God bless you. Have yourselves a wonderful evening.
Do you want to see how Bible prophecy fits perfectly into contemporary news? What's this business about the Antichrist and the mark of the beast? Who is the Antichrist? Be him alive? How shall the number 666 be introduced in commerce? The Watchman dissects fascinating insights into the end times and Bible prophecy. Make a date with The Watchman every Wednesday, 9 to 10 p.m. only on Spirit FM 96.6. Tune in and stay on